The Marquis is Deceived. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1872. The Marquis of Craigmere watched a French horse win the Ascot Gold Cup. He put down his binoculars after it had passed the winning post. "Bad luck," several of his friends called out. The Marquis merely shrugged his shoulders. He had known before he had come to Ascot that the horse he had entered for the Gold Cup was likely to be beaten by the French entry. He then realised that his horse had dead-heated for second place with Flageolet, which also came from France, and that this would go some way to console his trainer. His mind, however, was not wholly concerned with horses, even though he did look forward to Royal Ascot as most owners did. The Marquis's problem was much more personal. He was wondering, as he walked from the jockey club box, what he could do about it. He was, in fact, in the worst difficulty he had ever encountered over the years of being the most sought-after young bachelor in society. Enormously rich, he owned one of the finest houses in England, with its 15,000-acre estate. It was thought to be almost unfair that the Marquis, besides being the greatest matrimonial catch in the beau monde, should also be the most handsome man in it. Ambitious mothers stiffened whenever he entered a ballroom, and the debutantes of the London season prayed that he would ask them to dance. The Marquis, however, had no intention of getting himself married off. This had happened to many of his contemporaries, only for them to find a year or so later that they were incredibly bored with their wives. The Marquis steered clear of debutantes, and so his affairs de corps were always with exotic and beautiful married women, the majority of whom had complacent husbands, who stayed in their clubs or went to the country when they were not wanted. The Marquis found himself drifting happily from affair to affair, and none had lasted for very long. He invariably found himself quickly bored, and he had come to the conclusion some time ago that women, however beautiful, had very little to say when he was not making love to them, or they were talking 19 to the dozen about themselves. The Marquis's father had been very intelligent and well-read, and his son had followed in his footsteps. He had been made captain of his house at Eton, and had proceeded to make his mark at Oxford University, and he had come away with a first-class honours degree that few of his contemporaries had bothered to acquire. When he came into the title, he introduced a great number of modern ideas to his great estate, and he was still working on more. He also found time to travel as often as he could, and while doing so, he had enjoyed himself in Paris with alluring coquettes. They were beautiful, witty, exotic, and were the talk of Europe. Life had been, for him, what other people thought of as a bed of roses. So it was with a sense of shock that he now found himself in a position from which, for the moment, he had discovered no way of extricating himself. He had been staying with friends when he had first met Lady Lawson. She was exceedingly attractive in a most unusual way. She had dark hair and large, expressive eyes, and her superb figure was an irresistible attraction to every man. Her husband, Lord Lawson, who was much older than her, was an extremely busy statesman, and he spent more time in the House of Lords than he did at home. This enabled his lovely wife to dispense her favours on quite a number of men before the Marquis. At the house party where they had first met, the guests were all either married or widowed, and there was no question of any young girls being included.